Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you missed yesterday's, swing on over there, check it out. You can catch up with what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Mark Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, Dan, I have to tell you, it's a very sad, somber day for me today. I'm not sure, you know, if I can get through the whole hour. You know, it hasn't been good. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Mariners have removed Ichiro from their 40-man roster, and he is taking a front office position with them for the remainder of the season. His agent did not use the word retired, but apparently that's kind of looking like where this is headed. So I don't know.
Yeah, at first I thought it was fake news, but then I saw another report. I was kind of hoping you had more on it.
Yeah, you know, I had been kind of reading that this was kind of in the works for the last, you know, pretty much I think since Ben Gamel came off the DL, they were trying to find a nice way to go about this. But yeah, I don't know how you really, you know, how you really do it. You know, they just came out and said he'll serve as a special assistant to the chairman. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those deals, you know, like Ryan Dempster and David Ross and all the Cubs kind of have with Theo. So who knows what his duties will actually be. You know, I assume he'll probably just make personal appearances and shake hands and kiss babies. But yeah, it looks like that's that. I don't know. I mean, you think he's done, or, you know, does he maybe go back to Japan and play a few more years now?
I think maybe he'll try to test the waters again next season here, but most likely go back to Japan.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he said he wanted to play till he was 50. I think you and I both knew that, you know, wasn't going to happen. You know, he got some at-bats early this year with the Mariners. You know, they had some injuries, and he got a little bit more playing time than I think anybody expected. And sadly, he hit just 205. So he didn't get out of the gate to a hot start. I think if he would have came out hitting, this may have had a little different outcome. But, you know, I mean, he hasn't put up Ichiro type numbers in a few years now. I think he hit 255 last year part-time in Miami. So, you know, it just kind of looks as though the, you know, like sadly, like it happens to all of them, you know, that the skills may be deteriorating a little. I mean, he is 44. So I want to double check those stats here real quick. Yeah, it was 205 in 15 games with the Mariners. He did get 44 at-bats. Yeah, last year it was 255. He ended up in 136 games with the Marlins. But just 196 at bats, so a lot of defensive replacement kind of stuff. You know, obviously for his career here, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a 3,000 hit guy. His career average, even with the last couple down years, is still 311. That's just how good he was early in his career. You know, one year he actually hit 372. So, you know, never a huge power guy, but we knew that. You know, he did hit 15 homers one season, but that's nothing now. So I have to say goodbye to Ichiro, which makes me very sad. That's just, you know, just not one of those things I like to do. You know, I had to watch Ken Griffey Jr. go, and now Ichiro is probably, you know, I guess at least he got to say goodbye as a Mariner, so I guess I'll have to be happy with that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Griffey played for almost my whole life. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah. So I guess we'll deal. But all right, Dan, I want you to pretend that you're Commissioner Rob Manfred. All right, you're sitting at your desk in New York or New Jersey or wherever the hell their office is, and your phone rings or your secretary buzzes you, and they say that Todd Frazier is here to meet with you about the strike zone. Are you even interested in this meeting? I mean, at this point in time, who the hell cares what Todd Frazier has to say about the strike zone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that should be something coming from the union draft, no?
Yeah, well, apparently after Wednesday night's game against Atlanta, which interestingly the Mets were shut out 7-0 in, I believe they were also beat 11-0 today, so I'm thinking maybe it's not the strike zone, but the Mets. Frazier criticized the umps, not only in their game, but around the majors. And then he went on to say, and this is his direct quote, "I'd like to sit down with Manfred or anybody at MLB and talk to them about it because it's rubbing everybody the wrong way. You have to be better than that." Yeah, is Todd Frazier, who's a, I don't know, I think about a career 250 hitter, really the guy who knows the strike zone?
Well, I mean, what is he referring to? Who can do better than what?
Yeah, well, let's see what else he's got here. He's claiming that umpires have done a worse job this season calling balls and strikes. He mentioned he's already had one private meeting with an umpire to discuss the strike zone. Of course, he will not say what umpire that was. But he said, it says here, Frazier said the umpire who met with him blew five calls during Frazier's plate appearance during one game. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, does that mean enough to you?
Not really. I mean, that's just one guy. Granted, I know, what do they have, like 20
of them? Yeah. Is it just the fact that they're basically getting their heads kicked in by the Braves these last 2 days that, you know, kind of prompted this, or do you, I don't even know. I mean, let me pull up Frazier's stats here and see how he's doing this year. Cause I don't, I don't have him on any team or anything following him,
you know,
but
this is a guy whose highest batting average was 273, which he hit in 2012, 2014. But other than that, he hasn't gone higher than 234, with the exception of this season. And I mean,
yeah,
from 12 until 2017, he struck out more than 100 times every year.
So yeah, I mean, he's a 255 this year. Right, you know, he's got 28 strikeouts in 28 games, which, I mean, is, you know, kind of on pace. I mean, it's a little higher than last year's rate, but pretty close to where he was in 2016. You know, he's got 20 walks, so that's a better pace than what he's been on. So yeah, I don't know or think that he has much of a beef here statistic wise. Obviously I don't see a bunch of Mets games, so I don't know, you know, how that's kind of shaken out for them, but you know, numbers wise, he seems to be doing just fine. You know, and I mean, how many guys have we heard now, you know, Dan, different guys saying, well, you know, I want to meet with the commissioner about this or that, or however it kind of works out, right?
Isn't that the agent's job?
You know, the agent's job or the, you know, or like you said before, the union's job? You know, that's why, you know, that's why you have a player rep and, you know, your league has a CBA and you voted Tony Clark president of the union. You know, this is the kind of stuff that he's supposed to be handling. So,
well, because to me, it just like, you have the meeting, but what happens after that? It's just that, a meeting, and nothing official can really come of it.
Yeah, you know, and I guess that's kind of my second question to you. Say Rob Manfred says, "Hey, cool, you know, you're in New York, I'm in New York. Come on by, we'll have lunch, we'll talk about the strike zone." What happens after that? You know, they have lunch for an hour. Todd gets to vent about the strike zone. He goes back to his, you know, his team's clubhouse, and he tells them all these glorified, yeah, I sat down with them, and I told them this, and I told them that, and this is going to change, and that is going to change. And you and I both know nothing's going to happen, right? I mean, what's this all matter? Sit down and have your meeting. We're not doing anything differently, are we?
Well, no, because then nothing would change until next year.
Or is this finally the call, Dan, where we get robot umpires?
Well, I mean, it technically has a physical robot.
Have they been developing them? That would be cool if it was a physical robot that was dressed like an umpire. How awesome would that be? Players could argue with it still, and it would eject people. Dan, we got a great idea. So we got to get that robot I saw that the backflips and stuff, and see if we can turn him into an umpire. So, you know, and now I did hear another proposed rule change, and I think this was by a former player. He wants to see them go to, the first time I saw this was when I started playing softball, but I know they do it in Little League, now, where there's actually two first base bags, and one is for the runner and one is for the first baseman to eliminate collisions at first base. Do you like this idea? I mean, do we have enough first base collisions for this to be a problem?
What does this happen? Like 0.5% of the season?
Well, obviously what brought us up is I know they had one the other day. It was Cody Bellinger and somebody. I don't remember who the Dodgers were playing at the time that had a run in at first base. I know Bellinger didn't get hurt. I don't believe the other guy did either, but you know, that brought up the idea, you know, Dan, because we always have to make these games safer. You know, that's always the first thing. We don't need good quality entertainment. We need safety first. Almost sounds like my job, and then we never actually do any of the safety stuff unless OSHA's in the building, which is kind of humorous. But, it's almost kind of like the intentional walk thing. You know, where there weren't really enough of them to make a difference in pace of play. Again, we avoid what? Two collisions a year or so that we're saving lives?
Pretty much.
So I don't know. Do you like it? You think they should do it? Add that extra base?
I think that's stupid.
Oh, damn. So, but I do, The one thing I always find humorous about technology. Yes.
You might as well just put like you know, like they have in hockey, a white line around first base, and as long as the first baseman's foot is in that area and catches the ball before the runner touches the bag, then he's out.
Can't we just throw it back to the pitcher like we did as kids, as pitchers hand out, and then as long as the pitcher gets or the guy gets the first out, would save a lot of time. You know, then the ball would be at the mound. Think of the speed, Dan. The ball would already be back at the mound. Imagine how much we could increase pace of play just by adjusting that. All an infielder's got to do is pick up a ground ball and throw it back to the pitcher, and the guy's out, and we could go right back to batting. Think of how much time we just cut off the game with that stupid idea.
You should write about that one.
There you go. But humorously, Dan, and I'm interested to know if you could explain this to me. Apparently, according to the Mickey Mouse website, the Blue Jays and the Indians are in the process of playing two games at the same time. They had a doubleheader scheduled for today, and their first game is technically 9-9 in the top of the ninth inning. But the second game was supposed to start at 5:30 or 5:45, and the scheduling has them listed as both being live. Is this possible, or do you think they're playing on two separate fields? Nah, that's just goofy, right? So.
No, I mean,
I just thought it was kind of humorous that it came out that way, but. Being it is that it is Thursday, we do have a few finals. You know, that game is looks like it's going well. It's going in the bottom of the ninth, so maybe we'll get extra innings there. The other game going right now, the Dodgers are beating the Diamondbacks 5-2. That's in the top of the ninth. Your other finals today, we saw the Nationals beat the Pirates 3-1. Sammy Solis got the win. Trevor Williams took the loss, and Sean Doolittle picked up a save. The Braves, like I mentioned earlier, did pound on the Mets 11-0. Julio Teheran got a win. I think he even took a no-hitter into like the seventh inning. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with the strike zone, Todd Frazier. Jason Vargas got the loss there. The Yankees and the Astros had a pretty interesting game that was just all kind of goofy in the ninth inning that the Yankees ended up winning 6-5. Chasen Shreve got the win. Will Harris took the loss, and Aroldis Chapman had the save. And then the Royals beat the Tigers 10-6. Kevin McCarthy got the win, and Chad Bell took the loss. So there you go, Dan. You're all caught up on your action from earlier today. Did you get to watch anything? Did you see Yankees Astros? I know there were the MLB afternoon game. Did you see that, or were you on something else?
No, I didn't even realize there were that many day games going. I had the Washington Pirates game and then tuned into Facebook.
So, yeah, they had an odd, I guess technically it was, I think it was bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth in that Yankees-Astro game. The Yankees had a 5-0 lead early and were cruising along before they kind of gave it all back. I think it might have been 3-0, and they were actually down 5-3 or something like that. But, you know, all of a sudden it went to the point where nobody could get anybody out anymore, and, you know, weird things started happening. I know the Astros took the lead on, like, a passed ball. You know, and it was just kind of like this just odd, and then the Astro bullpen couldn't do anything to get anybody out. And I was like, oh, good Lord, what is going on here? But, yeah, the Yankees went in, and I think they took 2 of 3 in that series. So everybody is back on the Yankee bandwagon. I heard all the announcers after the game saying how, you know, this proves the Yankees are legitimate contenders, and it is just May, but they're legitimate contenders now, Dan. So we have to deal with that again.
Well, I mean, I never put them out as not being contenders this year.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was kind of wondering who put them out the past year, a month into the season. But, you know, I just kind of shut my mouth and listened to these idiots. So, but, yeah, at least it was an entertaining game. So,
you know, how much did you catch last night with Severino throwing a complete game? Shutout, first in his career.
Yeah, not enough. Oddly, though, Dan, interestingly, the winner in the Royals-Tigers game, that Kevin McCarthy, I'm going to guess that it wasn't the attorney who once represented me named Kevin McCarthy. I'm going to kind of figure it's another guy with the same name, but I just thought that was kind of strange. So, but we do still have, technically, I guess there's five games on the schedule tonight because Toronto and Cleveland have to try to play another one. When that starts, Dan, it'll be Joe Biagini against Adam Pluko. The Red Sox are in Texas to take on the Rangers. It's David Price and Mike Minor. The Twins are here in town to take on the White Sox. Your guy Jake Odorizzi going to the mound for the Twins tonight against Ronaldo Lopez. The Orioles are at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's Chris Tillman against Jaime Barria. And then the night wraps up with the A's at the Mariners. Sean Manna making his first start, I think, since he threw the no-no, going for the A's tonight against Wade LeBlanc. So, few games tonight to chase around if you have the time. So, but now we know, Dan, you know, Albert is two hits away from 3,000. Does he get it tonight?
No.
No, you don't think so? Because you know they're going to be cutting in on every one of his at bats to,
oh, yeah,
you know, to see if so.
Last year he was a player in the league.
Yeah, remember how funny is that? That last year he sucked and he was terrible, and yeah, they had him rated. He had a negative WAR, Dan. Oh my God, what do you do with a negative WAR? And you know, like, yeah, idiots. It just, you know, again, it just proves how ridiculously stupid that stuff is. And, I did hear humorously, I heard your good friends, Len and JD, trying to defend Chris Bryant batting second by saying that RBIs are no longer important because you get RBIs by a matter of opportunity, not by anything you actually do. Which I found kind of odd, Dan, because don't you have to get the hit at the run, drive the run in?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a matter of opportunity in that you're given that opportunity by your manager putting guys in the position before him to get on base, to be driven in.
Right. I thought, you know, but I mean, you know, they're the, you know, like most announcers are, they're not the only ones, but, you know, they're the, you know, quintessential home, you know, home announcer ass kissers. So, you know, they're going to do, you know, anything they can just to save their jobs and kiss as much ass as possible. But yeah, I just thought it was humorous listening to good old JD try to describe this and explain how, you know, now it's RBIs that aren't important. You know, before it was batting average. You know, batting average didn't matter, and nobody cared how many batting titles you won. So that meant guys like Tony Gwynn and Rod Carew and those kind of guys just sucked as players. So, you know, that's always a big positive there. But, yeah, now apparently to cover up for poor sabermetric judgment, RBIs no longer matter.
But, you know, what's pretty funny, though, is when they had a traditional lineup going with Amora and Baez, numbered 1 and 2, and then going to Bryant, Rizzo, weren't they winning? And then he immediately switched it up, and they start losing.
So, yeah, it's strange how well, you know, he got his guys back. You know, Ben Zobrist came back, and you got to get Ian Happ in there because, you know, he's the, you know, the future in center field. So, you know, you don't need to play the hot guys or anything like that. Just, you know, play the guys you like. And, you know, when the offense doesn't hit, you can look at, you know, you can blame it on the fact that RBIs don't matter and, you know, your sabermetric launch angle is a little off. So, you know, that's no problem.
Which I've heard the desired angle is between, like, 28 and 37. Somewhere in that percentage.
Yeah, I actually did hear. I saw my buddy posted it on Facebook, but he didn't quote the article he read. Apparently, there finally are some, I don't know if it's former major leaguers or current major leaguers, that are finally coming out against the launch angle and all this kind of crap, talking about how it's really ruining baseball because, you know, there's no real, you know, no real skill set to anything anymore. You know, you don't know how to hit behind runners. You know, you don't know, you know, how to hit with two strikes. You know, just oddly, just kind of stuff that you and I have been talking about probably for about 6 years now. So, you know, I mean, I doubt it changes anything because, you know, everybody loves the home run and, you know, again, strikeouts don't matter. But, you know, it would be nice if we could see some, you know, some guys with a little talent who could actually make contact in big situations and possibly knock in those unimportant RBIs for their team, Dan, because, you know, they don't matter anymore. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, what does matter is winning the game. So if you're going to tell me that individual batting titles and RBIs and such don't matter, well, statistically, sabermetric stats are all individual stats. They aren't really composed of how a team is going to be. It's not a team stat. It's an individual stat. So you can't pick and choose and say that these individual stats don't matter when sabermetrically, all your sabermetric stats are individual stats. What's, you know, does the team war matter more than the individual war?
It is the oddest team that it's a team game, and the most important thing is winning. But, you know, wins no longer matter for starting pitching. That stat is an afterthought. You know, RBIs now apparently don't matter, even though you need them to win the game. And how do you have guys on base for get RBIs? Well, they have to have a pretty good batting average so they can get on base, but that no longer matters. And neither do strikeouts, even though multiple strikeouts don't get you on base to put your team in position to ultimately win the game, which is the entire idea behind it, is to win the game. You know what I mean? I know it was football, but it's like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. So, you know. I don't get it. It's just kind of, you know, we're so focused on, you know, the nerd culture and making sure guys who aren't good enough to play the game can have a part in the game, that we literally kind of forgot about what's important in the game.
Well, and the, like you mentioned, the whole point of the game is to win the game. Go pull out the, which something I know nobody ever does, which I actually have, I download every year's copy of Major League Baseball rules, but go to the objective of the game. And the objective when you're hitting is to get a batter on and to have him score.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, things that don't matter, such as RBIs, runs, stolen bases, and bunts, are actually all perfectly situated within the game's objective to win as a team, because it's not the NBA where one guy can win the game for you.
Yeah, you know, and I got to tell you, Dan, I mean, I would be just as happy if I had a guy bunt a, you know, if I had a guy bunt a runner over to second and the next guy singled him in, as I would if there was a guy on first and two guys struck out and then they hit a two-run homer to win the game, because even though we won the first game, say, 1-0 or 2-1, instead of 2-0 or 3-1, we still won the game. And again, the bottom line is you want to win the game. So it's just kind of baffling how You know, I mean, like, wins for starting pitchers don't matter. Well, if my pitcher goes seven innings and, you know, we're winning, I think his win kind of matters. You know, and I do find it odd that they still pick and choose because, you know, all the goof-offs were all upset because Justin Verlander had a great outing the other day and then the bullpen blew it. And they were like, oh, look at that. They blew Justin Verlander's win. But wait, the win doesn't matter.
Well, like you said, the win doesn't matter, but everyone's upset the fact that Clayton Kershaw has one win?
Right. You know, yeah, that he's struggling to get a win, but they don't matter. Unless it fits in what they need to, you know, to work out here. You know, oh, well, it's too bad Justin Verlander didn't get a win. Well, why? They don't matter. You know what I mean? And this is like, I think it was Brian Kenny was one of the guys who mentioned this. And, you know, I mean, he's the king of sabermetric BS on the MLB Network. You know, he's the first guy to jump on that bandwagon and say, you know, this doesn't matter or that does, you know, that doesn't matter. I mean, he was the leader in the not giving Jose Altuve any credit for winning the batting title as part of his MVP voting. So, you know, it was just kind of like, but wait, now you're talking about wins that matter. You know, every win matters, to be fair, because you never know when you could find yourself one game out of a playoff situation. So, you know, you could look back and say, hey, maybe if we had gotten this win, it would be different. But, yeah, you just can't kind of, you know, you just can't kind of pick and choose when you decide you want to quantify what stats count and what stats don't. There's just no way to do that. You know, they always try to find a way.
But yeah, and you know, and when you look at pitchers like Kershaw and even let's go Bumgarner and Zach Greinke, even you know, let's go John Lester. When you've got a guy who's in your system or, you know, who's going into free agency and other teams are looking at them, 15 wins is going to make a difference. If you got a guy who's, you know, on the average of 18 to 20, you know, which I believe what Max Scherzer's hit, has he won 20 games, of a, you know, in that realm for the last few years? You know, let's just imagine for a moment that you have 1 through 5 starters where you're guaranteed 15 wins out of all of them. That's 60
yeah.
wins. You know, most teams don't, you know, no one really gets to 100. That's a pretty magical number. But let's just say you've got 60 wins from your starting rotation, all 5 guys. Now you've left the rest of the team to make up at least another 40 games in that realm. So, you know, I know there's no guarantee, but when you come into your season and you go, oh, hell, I've got 5 guys who are going to throw, you know, regardless of if they lose, they're going to give me 15 wins each. We've got approximately 60 games under our belt already. And now I just need my spot starters, my bullpen, and the offense to give us that somewhere near, you know, an extra 25 would, you know, what bring you at around just above 500. But when you're going 35 to another 45 wins for the rest of your team, it's not a whole lot of ground that you really have to make up.
You know, I don't want to be this guy, Dan, but if you get 15 wins from all 5 of your starters, it's 75 wins, not 60.
Oh, well, you should be that guy.
But I understood your point totally. And, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you get 75 wins out of your starters, you know, even if you go 500 the rest of those games, I mean, what is that? You know, a little less than 90 games. You know, if you went just, you know, 40 and whatever, you just won 115 games. I think you'll be okay there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're right. I was getting my 60 off of 12. I was thinking 12 wins,
yeah, no.
Not 15.
It was okay. I didn't want to hold it against you, but I understand, you know, you're an accounting guy, and I was a little concerned that you were doing accounting like that. So.
Well, I don't have my Excel spreadsheet in front of me, so you know that works.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, you know, but, yeah, I mean, just, you know, but, yeah, that's not important. It doesn't matter if those guys all get 15 wins, Dan. No, nobody cares. So.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, and that's just why. Laughable.
Well, and don't forget, if they strike out too many guys on the opposing team, that's bad, too, because nobody wants to see guys get, you know, no one wants to see Giancarlo get struck out 5 times in a game. Which,
oh,
I mean, no, we don't.
Boring,
but...
in fact.
Yeah.
Didn't you ever see Bull Durham? You know. You know, but yeah, it's just, you know, when you really start to break these things down, what Sabermetrics is good for is fantasy players. That's really all Sabermetrics is fantasy baseball. It really should have nothing to do with what goes on field. But for some reason, you know, these idiots jumped all over it and just wouldn't let it go. You know, and I mean, okay, maybe, you know, I'll give you something on, you know, balls in play, you know, batting average on balls in play. You know, that could probably be usable. But, you know, WAR means absolutely nothing. You know, I don't care what a guy's exit velocity is, because if he hits it right at a guy, he can hit it as hard as he wants. It's still an out. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, his exit velocity was 113 miles an hour. Yeah, and he lined out to the third baseman. Whoopee. He's out. You know, I mean, it's like that old thing they used to say to you in Little League when the kid hit the long foul ball off you that would have got out of the frickin' Grand Canyon. Oh, don't worry, buddy. It's just a strike. So, those things have really little consequence to, you know, how it kind of works out. I mean, an out is an out, and a foul ball is still a strike. You know, oh, yeah, I had, you know, and I mean, as a batter, okay, you can build some confidence out of, I made good contact, I hit the ball hard, you know, that's good. I'm in a good plane. But, you know, the announcers get, well, you know, look at that, he hit the ball this hard. So what? You know, he hit it right at this guy, and it ended up in a double play, so we got two outs. You know, well, his exit velocity was 200 miles an hour, yeah, and he hit it straight up, and he popped out to the center fielder. So I don't know. I guess if it makes them happy, you know, they can talk about it. But all right, let's see. Believe it or not, I actually won $2.50 on FanDuel last night. So I am going to try my luck again. It's a really short schedule tonight. So there aren't a ton of games, and normally I do better when it's like this. But we'll see. I don't know how it'll work out. I am going to go with David Price as my pitcher tonight. I wasn't overly excited with any of the pitching matchups, but I liked Price better than any of the other guys. So I'm paying the $8,100 to get him. First base, I'm going to go with Albert Pujols. He's only at $3,000, and he's hitting cleanup for the Angels. They've got a good matchup against Chris Tillman. I think they could score some runs tonight. Second base, I'm going with Jace Peterson of the Orioles. He's just $2,400. He's hitting second for them. Again, on the opposite side of that, they have a pretty good matchup against Faria, who really struggled his last outing. I think he only lasted 2 2/3. Third base, I got Pedro Alvarez of the Orioles. Originally, I had Zach Cozart, but he's out of the lineup. So I had to make the late switch. He cost me $2,400. He's hitting seventh for the Orioles. Shortstop, I got Manny Machado for the Orioles, $4,800. He's hitting third. Yeah, I realize I got a lot of Orioles in this lineup, but it just kind of worked that way. My outfield has Mike Trout for $5,400. He's hitting second for the Angels tonight. This also means he will do absolutely nothing tonight because he never gets me more than about 10 or 12 points. Chad Pinder of the A's is my next outfielder at $2,600. He's hitting eighth for them tonight. And then my outfield wraps up with Mark Trumbo, who's just $2,400. He's in his third game back from injury, so he should be a little better off. He's hitting sixth for the Orioles tonight. And then my utility guy at $3,600 is Kyle Seager of the Mariners. He's hitting sixth for them tonight. So to recap, I have David Price pitching, Albert Pujols at first, Jace Peterson at second, Pedro Alvarez at third, Manny Machado at short, Mark Trumbo, Mike Trout, and Chad Pinder are in my outfield, and Kyle Seager is my utility guy. Now, I did play Home Run Derby. I managed one last night, and it was just by Albert. So we'll have to see how that goes. So, of course, I didn't win. Just trying it again tonight. It's free, so there's no reason I might as well not try it, right? I went with the strategy last night of teams that have given up a lot of home runs. I took batters who were playing against them. That didn't work out so well. So tonight I just played a little bit better, more matchup, I guess you would say. I went with Cole Calhoun of the Angels. He's hitting eighth. I know he's been struggling, but he's got a lefty-righty matchup against Chris Tillman. I'm hoping he can catch one for me tonight. Then I'm going with another struggling guy. Chris Davis of the A's has really been struggling. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight, but again, it's another lefty-righty matchup against Wade LeBlanc. So I'm going that route. And then my last guy is Trey Mancini of the Orioles. He's leading off for them tonight. So I like the fact that he should get the extra at bat. Maybe he'll get five tonight, and I may be able to, maybe he'll walk into one for me. So, I'm going to go that route. And, then again, I like the matchup against Barrio. Like I said, he really struggled his last time out. So we'll have to see how that works out. But, yeah, that's what I'm rolling with tonight. So we'll see. Again, maybe last night finally got something started for me, and I will have another positive FanDuel experience would be really, really cool. But yeah, I noticed tonight, like even the league starts later in FanDuel. This is a 7:05 start. Normally, they've already started. So, you've got plenty of time to get in. I did double check, all my guys are in the lineup tonight, so that's not a problem. I also mentioned, I really did like the Zach Cozart matchup for tonight, but for whatever reason, they decided he's not in the lineup. So I had to yank him, and at the price tag I was at, really the best I could do was Pedro Alvarez. So I just kind of had to, had to make the fill and go that route, and hopefully it will not come back to bite me, but we shall see. There's only so much you can kind of deal with, right? At least I hope that's what I'm going with. So we shall see. Again, like I said, I would really like to pick up some good luck. I just can't seem to match up or get anything kind of going. I don't know why or how I've had the kind of the scuffles I've had, but like I said, hopefully it turns around and I finally kind of shake things up here. But I don't know. How many homers did you hit last night?
Oh, I'm trying to go 0-for-7 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm not trying, but well, we're at Thursday, so we've got what, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday to get an offer.
Well, that's, I guess.
Yeah, and I was listening to you give out your FanDuel lineup, and I'm not even going to tell you mine. But just so you know, you're probably just going to suck tonight. Because every other guy. Yeah, pretty much. So that'll be fun. Now it's going to kill me that I don't remember who put this out there. I believe it was a Cleveland Indian pitcher. One of us tweeted it out there. It was most likely me. Mentioned the fact that, and I've been dying to ask you this one. This was earlier in the week, but I'm just now getting around to it. Brought up the fact that all the pitchers in Houston, there's something going on down there that's something with spin rate, or I don't remember what the, I think it was a Cleveland Indian who was not super happy about the situation and how they're all pitching so great, you know, especially a guy like Verlander wasn't doing all so well in Detroit, comes up, he's pretty hot once he gets to Atlanta, and then the magical Charlie Morton. Did you happen to look into any of this or see the man that was upset about it? And there was a little Twitter thing going back and forth between players.
It was Trevor Bauer who implied that.
Awesome.
Yes. Just, I did hear that. I didn't go too in depth with it. You know, after he started kind of explaining, you know, spin rate and all the stuff that he was talking about, I understood, you know, what he meant. So I didn't go digging after the article or anything. That's one of those things. I mean, even though, you know, I caught for a very long time, it was only, you know, to the high school level. So spin rate wasn't anything we were actually concerned with. So I don't know a whole lot about it, but I would think with, you know, with everything that goes on today, medically wise and, you know, physically wise, there's probably a way to improve your spin rate, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point that I just wasn't getting at was, why was he so mad? If they're not really doing anything illegal, you know, if they're not standing on the rubber, licking their lips, you know, or licking their fingers and touching the baseball, you know, doing all that stuff that you're not allowed to do. I just didn't understand what he was so upset about.
You know, that's one of those things I wish he would have went into a little more detail, but he kept it very
vague,
you know, on, yeah, very vague on the edges. So he didn't, you know, maybe
everybody.
He was worried about suspension or something,
yeah.
You know, that's the only thing I could, you know, could possibly think of, but yeah, I guess it could really go either way, right?
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that, you know, Justin Verlander, I don't know if this was completely in response to what Bauer was saying or, you know, just kind of what was brought up, but I mean, you can't tell me that the Astros system did something so magical in a matter of a week up until the end of the season last year that made Justin Verlander just go on fire. I mean, I think part of the reason you and I may not have, you know, seen as much out of Verlander over the last couple of years is because Detroit's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit and they weren't really as competitive as they should have been. So we may not have tuned in or picked up on too many Tigers games to begin with. And, you know, and he obviously wasn't getting the run support in Detroit when, you know, your best guy on your team is hurt all for the last three seasons. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't change that up. And then Charlie Morton has played on some bad teams over the last couple of years, although he did look really damn good the other night. But, you know, Verlander brought up the fact that, especially with all the camera work and the, you know, the viewing that they have available to them. And I would hope that this isn't just the Houston Astros thing. You would assume that this is something across the entire league, but he said, you know, they're able to break the frames down or, you know, frame by frame by frame so that each pitcher knows exactly what their release point becomes. So then they can adjust their release point on looking at that. Whereas, you know, let's go back to Nolan Ryan days. There was no way that Nolan Ryan would have had any kind of access to any kind of technology of that sort. I'm just using him because he definitely spanned many generations. So I forget if he played in like three or four decades. But, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that that's definitely got to help some. And maybe the pressure's not as on as much as maybe in Cleveland as, you know, they, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Cubs won the World Series, but the way the season was played out and everything, and even the way the postseason was played, I kind of feel like it should have been the Indians who won. So do you think there's maybe a slight bitterness that, you know, Cleveland lost to the Cubs, and then the next year they didn't make it, and then the Astros won?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that's part of it. It always kind of is. This could be something as simple as maybe whoever Houston's pitching coach is has adjusted the grip for Verlander or Charlie Morton. It may just be the fact that Charlie Morton is finally healthy, because he was a top prospect with the Pirates and just could never stay freaking healthy. So, you know, they shipped him off to the Phillies. He couldn't get healthy there. He wasn't very good with the Astros last year, but he was hurt. So, you know, it could be things that is just as simple as that. And, I mean, Verlander's been a stud before. I mean, could it be the fact that, like you said, he's on a team that supports him and he can win games even though wins don't matter? That, you know, is kind of making him look like the pitcher he is?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, wins don't matter, but everyone was all over the fact that he went like 9-0 coming over to Houston.
Yeah. So.
And didn't lose a game until, what was it, against the Yankees in the postseason? Which I don't even know if he lost the game or if it was a no decision, but, you know, he did not lose a game until somewhere in the postseason. And, you know, wins don't matter. His overall performance and win didn't matter for them to help win the World Series at all.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it makes it, you know, makes it a little fun, you know, when there's a little bit of, you know, controversy like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I just, nice, you know, I brought it up because, yeah, it's definitely mind game. But, you know, what are you alluding to? Because, you know, the downside of making allegations like that, especially from a player's side point of view, is at the end of the day, they're all on separate teams. But technically, they all play for the same team as they're in the union. And I've never heard of, you know, the union ousting a guy or doing anything of that sort. But when you're all represented by one union and you start pulling out allegations like that, you might not make too many friends and it might not do, you know, fare so well for you in the future.
Yeah, you definitely gotta wonder, you know, how this flies with his union brothers. I don't know if, you know, maybe this is something where, you know, the union kind of steps in quietly and says, hey, let's do this a different way. Yeah, you know, there's a better way for you to bring this up than going, you know, just publicly with it. But
Twitter, nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see if anybody else, you know, kind of jumps in or maybe says something, you know, says something, adds something.
To be honest, I think Verlander's response was pretty solid, and I don't think anyone in the game, so to speak, really has any motive to come out and kind of get him drawn into that. Because I think that's one of those topics where you're in the league, you're probably just going to, you know, I was going to say read it in the paper and just, you know, roll it up once you're done going to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
You
know,
read
I mean,
newspapers anymore.
Right. What can you do? You know, so, but yeah, you know, now we do have a couple other things going on here, Dan. The Raptors are actually leading the Cavaliers 63-61 at halftime. That game started early because it's the East I think they started at 5 o'clock. And then tonight we have Philadelphia at Boston, game two of that series. But the you know, going back to Cleveland and Toronto, did you see that the NBA has asked Drake to turn it down on the expletives?
They said it's a family show.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that works or how that goes for him. But yeah, he they apparently approached him about being a little more, I don't know, you want to call it professional, however you want to handle it. So we shall see how that goes. But yeah, that's kind of your you know, our NBA love for the day there. I'm trying to remember, did we have, oh yeah, we did have the big upset last night. You know, we had the Jazz actually steal a game from the Rockets. You know, I don't know who the heck had that one, you know, especially in Houston. You know, that I, you know, that could be kind of a huge deal. I fully don't expect the Jazz to win the series. But I know there were a lot of people who didn't even have them win in one game. Are you a little surprised they snuck in and took a game in Houston? Oh, no. Dan, did you mute yourself? Where's Dan? I can't hear him. Oh, well, anyways, okay, so that was kind of that. But we'll just kind of swing on here. They do. We do have a couple of hockey games tonight. I want to pull up the schedule to make sure I have them correctly, because we have the Capitals at the Penguins. Now, Washington does lead the series 2-1, so we'll have to see if they can get that going tonight. And then Nashville, the Predators are in Winnipeg taking on the Jets. The Jets are up in that series 2-1. So, you know, a couple kind of pivotal games here for this. We'll have to see if either team can kind of take that commanding 3-1 lead, or if we get it even up. Now, last night, Tampa Bay did beat Boston 4-1. The Lightning took a 2-1 lead in that series. And then San Jose really took it to Las Vegas last night. Looked like a much, much better team. They beat them 4-0. That series is tied 2-2. So Vegas definitely in for more of a battle than they, you know, than they were, you know, in the opening round. I mean, they looked like, you know, the team to beat. They were rolling. But now coming up against San Jose, it's really been a much, much tougher matchup. You know, and then going back with Washington, he's the, you know, the hard-hitting defenseman that has just been knocking people all over the place. He got a 3-game suspension for a hit he made on a, I don't remember who it was. But, yeah, so he's out for 3 games. You know, it looked kind of clean on tape. It didn't look like he was, I think the guy ended up with a broken jaw. But, you know, when stuff like that happens, they respond with suspensions, and he got 3. We'll have to see if Washington can do without him.
Ovechkin's having his best playoff.
All right.
Oh, that matters.
We're going to stop off. But we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. Dan, does she not like our exit music, Dan? Oh, no.
No, she does not.
So, but, all right. You know what to do, Bob. Dan and I are gone. Get over to sportsradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. If you'd like to hunt us down, that would be cool. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go to tunein.com, listen to the podcast anytime you want.
Sportstime Radio.